ever nervous till I come home. Go figure. You know, I come home and I'm going to preach, and I'm nervous because, see, I come back next week. You know, other places I go and I leave, and then whatever happened, happened, you know. But here, I'm just blessed. I'm just being real. Am I being real? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Plus, I don't know if you knew this, but Pastor Scott and Jamie preach here a lot. I'm neither tall nor as wild. Did I call them wild? I love our pastors, don't you? I love their families. I love the years that the families have served God together. I'm just blessed. You know, you can tell about a pastor and his wife by looking at their kids serving God, serving the Lord, because that tells you what went on when you and I weren't watching. And I just want to say thank you for that, Pastor Scott and Debbie and Jamie and senior moment, Tammy. Thank you. Sorry, Tammy. But God's been good to us. He's put some good men of God in these pulpits. And I'm not a man of God, but I hope that I'll be a blessing to you nonetheless. You know, God's been talking to me about a question that we need to answer. And the question is, can God trust you in a trial? Now, I know we don't go around saying, oh, Lord, bless me with a good trial. But I don't know how to tell you this. If it's not here, it's coming. Or you just got through coming through. And I want you to know that God wants to know, not only can we trust Him, but He wants to know if He can trust us. Will we be faithful? Will we be an example to people watching? Because I promise you, people watch. And I've never had a hard day in my life, as you know. But if I did, I would ask that question. So I want to start with sharing a little story. I don't know how many of you know I was in the Marine Corps. And I did my best to be a good Marine. But I was falling behind. I had been very sick right before I went in. I had mono. And it wasn't because I was kissing too many boys, okay? So don't even go there. Just saying. But I had mono. And it left me with severe fatigue for months, even after I was well. And it's something I've just battled most of my life. And so I really got behind in boot camp. Anyways, one morning, the lights went on, and as was our ritual, the lights go on. You jump out of bed. You make your bed. You get dressed in the appropriate attire for whatever you're going to start your day with. You stand at the end of your bunk, and then the countdown begins. 1, 2, 3. That means I'm present and accounted for, and I had a number. And I counted off, but I was still doing things. Okay, now can I tell you that if you see Sergeant Lewis down there, and you're moving and you're counting off, you're in trouble. That woman was scary. She was scary. She would come in a room and presence would enter before her. Do I have to explain presence? Scary. At least I was scared. And so everybody got counted off, and by the time the last one was finished, so was I. Then it happened. Private Trevino, front and center. Oh, Lord. That was my maiden name, in case you're wondering who she's talking about. And I knew I was in trouble, and I had to stand before Sergeant Lewis at attention in front of God and everybody. Was the private ready when the private counted off and said she was ready? No, ma'am. Why did the private lie to me? How many times have you done that to God? I'm ready, Lord. Really? Let's talk about this. I had additional training to help my memory. And I promise you that that was the only time that ever happened, and no one else ever did that. Just me. I'm special. Very special. Don't ever be special in boot camp. It's not good. But I want you to know that she wasn't doing that to be mean to me. She wasn't trying to embarrass me. She was trying to teach me how to be strong and how to do the things that I needed to do in the right way and to be ready for whatever was coming my way. Because you don't know what's coming, and they know things that you don't. I have an apron, and it says this I cook and I know things. Well, I don't know what I know, but she knew things that I didn't know. Okay, and I think she wore that apron, I know things, every day that I was in boot camp. And I'm telling you, God knows things too. And you can't take his apron off. You have to just trust him. So you learn to trust him a little bit, and then he's going to say to you, now, you've learned to trust me a little bit. Now I want to see if I can trust you. And he starts allowing you to have the privilege of going through some stuff. Your stuff is different than mine, but the purpose is still the same. It's to make you able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. So we're going to look at a familiar story tonight in Daniel chapter 3. My three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3. It's a great story. Now, I know that we know this story, but I want you to do me a favor. Do not say, I know it, and not listen to what God wants to say tonight. God wants to speak through what's familiar, and you know, we can get comfortable in what's familiar and then miss something new that God wants to unfold to us. You know what I'm saying? Ever do that? You read verses and you wonder when God put that one in your Bible because it wasn't there last time. Well, I'm hoping that tonight that will happen. Amen. Now, when you find that, we're going to bow our heads and pray, and we're going to look at God's Word for a few minutes, okay? Father, I just thank you so much for this church family, and I thank you for this Word you've given me. And Lord, I know that I speak to an audience of one, but I'm asking that you would flow through me by your Spirit and say something to the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, we want to know you like we've never known you. Lord, we want to be closer to you than we've ever been. And Lord, I know that in my personal experience, Lord, I never have known you as well as when I've gone through something and found that you are a faithful, faithful God. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd help me to be faithful to you like you are to me. And we just thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 3. So the story goes, Nebuchadnezzar, somewhat full of himself, wouldn't you say, builds this great big golden image. And when I was teaching children, we did VeggieTales, and so it was like a golden bunny or something, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't a bunny. It was this golden image of this God that he had created. And I kept thinking about how Isaiah said, You make gods that have ears and can't hear, and eyes and can't see, and a mouth and can't speak, and then you bow down before it and call it a god, and you're idiots. And so here was this idiot making this really big god, thinking the bigger it is, the more god it is. And he said, when you hear the music, and I'm not going to go over all the instruments because there's a bunch of them, but when you hear the music, you're going to have to fall down and worship. Now listen, it's just a little thing. You have to mean it in your heart. But it's your life on the line if you don't bow down. What are you going to do? Can God trust you in a trial? Are you going to stand up? Or are you going to bow down because you're scared? Hasn't he been faithful to keep you all this time? Can he trust you to stand up for him now? Because that idol is being built all around you. Everywhere you go, they're building idols. And they're telling you, you have to bow down because everyone is. And if you don't bow down, you're an idiot. If you don't bow down, you're going to lose your friends. If you don't take the shot, you're going to lose your job. If you don't bow down, fill in the blank. Well, these three men said, guess what? I won't bend and I won't bow. And I don't care what they do. God's been too good to me, and I love Jesus too much to turn my back on him now. No one else has ever died for me, only Jesus. Amen? And today we have to learn to take a stand. Amen. All right, so here's what the king said. King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 3 and 13. He was mad. Excuse me. Let's go back up to verse 11. Whoever falls not down and worships not, he shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews, O king, that you have set over your affairs. Now they're in your office and they're disrespecting you. That's what they're saying to the king. These guys are disrespecting you. And you're the king. Don't they know who York is? Apparently this man did, right? It says, they have not regarded you. They will not serve your gods, and they will not worship your golden image, which you set up. When Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, I'm going to give you another chance. Okay, I mean, I understand you're trying to do your thing here. But if you're ready now to do what you should do, that's what he said. When you hear the music, if you will worship and bow down, good. But if not, you're going in the fiery furnace. Today is the end for you. You're done. You don't think I have power to do that? I'm the king. I'm the most powerful man in the room. Who do you think you are? You wouldn't have this job if it wasn't for me. You're a slave. You're an Israelite, for heaven's sake. And you're going to talk to me like, now I'm going to give you another chance because I'm a really good guy. I really am. I'm a good guy. That's what he... Well, here's what happened. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, they're just so timid here, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we're not going to have a committee meeting to decide if maybe we should do this or if there's some compromise that we could kind of come to an agreement on. No, he said, we don't have to do that. If it be so, our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands. So in other words, whether he gets me out of the fiery furnace or not, he's going to take me out of your hands. You don't have any power over me. Now, that did not set well with this king. Do you understand that? Well, but if not, be it known, O king, we will not serve thy gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. You know, I missed a line I wanted to say up in verse 15. Please forgive me. I want to go back and read this because this is really important. He said, if you're ready at what time you hear the music, very good. You shall, if you worship not, you will be cast in the fire that same day. And then he says, and who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? So yes, we are. We're about to find out. And I think that we need to understand the God that you and I serve. We know who he is. We know who he is. Let me tell you, I had valley fever this summer. And I said, you know, it's time for me to start believing God for my healing because I had a big old nodule in my lung. And I said, you know what, God? I've believed for Ed for years. It's time for me to believe for me. And I went in to get this biopsy done. And I said, I just want to let you know that you're not going to find anything to biopsy in my lung. Now, I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel hot honey going down. I didn't feel, you know, nothing. But I said, I'm going to put it out there, and then God, you do with it what you want. So they took a picture because, you know, they're saying, okay, well, here's what's going to happen today, blah, blah, blah. So they put me in a CAT scan to take a picture so they would know where they're going to put this 9-foot-long needle into my little rib cage. And they came out shaking their head and said, well, have a nice day. Let me tell you, I told them, I said, I believe Jesus healed me because my church has been praying and I've been standing on his word. And he thought I was weird. I mean, I got the rolling of the eyes, all that. But God delivered me from that. He's a healer. But you know what? Don't nobody know the healer until you've been healed. You went through a trial of sickness because God wanted to show you how he's your healer. You didn't have food on your table and someone left groceries at your door. God said, if you'll praise me when you got no food in your cupboard, I'll put food at your front door. It happened to me. So that's the God we're talking about in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, because this is the same God that was alive then that's still alive today. And they said, we will not be careful how we're going to answer you. God may deliver us from the fire, he may not, but he will deliver us out of your hands, and we will not bow. And of course, that, you know, that was fighting words. And so we know the rest of the story goes like this. They tied them up with their strongest men. They tried to put bondages on them. You know, the world wants to put you in bondage. Had they bowed the knee, they would have been in bondage. But they said, no, nope, your bondages cannot touch me. They made sure they had on as much clothes as they could. They ripped that fire up to 7 times hotter. And their strongest men were killed by the heat of the fire. And they went into that fire, and bondages of the world were burned off. They didn't even smell like smoke. And you know what? I saw something I never had seen before. When the Bible says when the bondages were burned off of them, it didn't say they ran out of the fire. You and I are too quick to want to get out of our trials. We're too fast to not say, not why God, but why is God? What are you trying to show me? Help me to learn something. I know it's not comfortable to be in a trial. It's an uncomfortable place to be burning up. But let me tell you something. God is doing something. He's burning off things that are trying to bind you. And if you run out of there too quick, you will go through it again. I don't know if you've ever said this. Why do I keep going around this mountain again and again? Anybody? Been through something more than once and asked why? You don't have to raise your hands, but God will get you for lying. Just saying. But I'm telling you, when you're going through a trial, before you say, just get me out of here quick, Lord, why don't you say, Lord, is there something in this for me? What do you want me to learn about your character that I don't know yet? What do you want to show me about your power working in me? About things that are deep inside of me that I don't know are there, that this trial is going to help me to be able to put at your feet so I'll be free from it. Don't be just getting out of that thing too quick. I'm not saying don't believe God, so please hear me. I'm saying let God have a complete work in whatever you're going through. And let him do what only he can do. You and I can't do it. But a good trial will help you. You know, Ed and I went through a trial of trials. We went through a few of those, life-threatening. He didn't do colds. That was too easy for him. We went in to do some fusion on his neck. And it's real funny. We went in to talk to his surgeon before this surgery. And when we walked out of the surgeon's office, you know how God can have a conversation with you in a nanosecond, but it's like this full many paragraphs, and he does it, and it's ever been there. And the Lord said to me, Julie, do you trust me? And I'm like, is this multiple choice? Because, you know, I don't know if that's a good question when you hear the Lord asking you, because you know something's up. And I said to the Lord, Lord, as long as you hold my hand, I can face anything. And I remember when Pastor said, God doesn't just hold your hand. He grabs you at the wrist so that when you get weary in the trial, trying to stand strong in your faith, you don't fall. He's still got you. And so I said, Lord, as long as you hold my hand, I'll be okay. I can face anything. Those are the words I had in my head, this quick conversation. So on September 30th, we just buried Ed's father. And on September 30th, we went in for surgery. 4 days later, just a day or so before he should have been coming home from the hospital, Ed was going into respiratory arrest. He was septic. It was not good. The last thing I heard him say is, Julie, help me, I'm dying. Did not set well. Did not go in there for all that, if you know what I mean. And they had to put a trach in because he couldn't breathe on his own. They put a trach in, then they tried to take him off it, and then he just kept having too much respiratory distress. Then he got an infection in his IV site, and he had 104 fever. His stomach started blowing up like a balloon. His aorta, abdominal aorta, was ruptured, and he was bleeding out. Now, this all happened in 10 days, by the way. And they're saying to me at 11:30 at night, he's bleeding out. We've got to get him into surgery with 104 fever, on a ventilator, full of infection, still not healed from that six-hour surgery he had just a few days ago. And let me tell you, the stress was off the charts. God asked me if I trusted him, and I had to learn that he was trustworthy. But he was also asking me, do you trust me, and can I trust you to be faithful? And let me tell you, Ed went through that surgery, and he lived. I don't know how he did it. He just did. All right? He was in that hospital 30 days, and they made a move to another one, and on the way over there, his lung collapsed. They blew it back up, but he got pneumonia. Then they put him in a nursing home for several months, till he could get off the ventilator. And I won't even tell you what that was like. And if that's not enough, his mother died while he's dealing with all this. And I said, this is too much. And I didn't know how to pray. It was hard. Not, you know, Ed had a lot of hard things, but this one's always the mother of all trials. And I'll tell you what, I learned that I could be faithful to God when didn't nothing look good. And I would come home in tears. And I would try and pray, and the only words, literally, I couldn't say anything except, God, I just don't know. But I knew how to worship. I knew how to trust God with what I didn't understand. I knew that God was a good God. I didn't understand all this. But I tell you what, you won't ever grow like you grow when you go through something like that, and you come through the other side. Ned came home. About 4 months later, feeding tube, I put green stuff in his belly that he would never put in his mouth. Yes, I did. I was going to get that man to help again. On a bed in the living room, a hospital bed with a trach and breathing treatment. I mean, we went through some stuff. I'm just saying, can God trust you in a trial? And let me tell you, I grew through that trial. It seemed like a lot of fertilizer going on in my life, if you know what I'm saying. And what does fertilizer do? Makes things grow. It stinks, but it makes you grow. And if you will say, Lord, in everything, I'm going to give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning me in Christ Jesus. And if you'll remember that we are to give thanks, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. If you will do that, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you will start finding these words in your book, this is a living book. And how are you going to know how real it is if it's not tested? If even Jesus was tested and tempted, mind you, without failing, but he was a great example. If he went through some stuff, and he did it not because he had to, but to show us the way, then you walk where you see his footprints, and he'll help you. He will help you. Now, these four men, getting back to my story, I really have an ADD brain. I'm sorry, I'm asking God to heal it, because it's really challenging sometimes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put in a trial of trials, burning fire, 7 times hotter, already killed some mighty men. But you know what? They stayed in there because the fourth man walked through it with them. And that's what you have to remember. That fourth man is saying, I want to get better acquainted with you. Will you trust me and let me see if I can trust you? And let's walk through some hard things so you can be a good soldier. He was better than Sergeant Lewis. I'm telling you. You know, I'm more afraid of her than I was the Lord, I'm just saying. The only other one that scared me more than that would be my mama, but, you know, 5 foot tall and scary. Only if you made her mad. You know, this king that served this 90-foot tall golden whatever it was, not a bunny, this king looked down and saw something in the midst of their trial. Because God could trust them to stand in the trial like he wants you to be trusted. He looked in and he said, didn't we throw 3 men in? Who is this fourth man? He looks like the Son of God. Yes, he did. And then they did not come out of that trial until this king was thoroughly convinced that God had visited them, and the king called them out. Your trial is not just for you to grow. It is also for everyone that's watching to see if this God you stood up for is really real. Do you really believe what you say you believe? Because if you don't, you're going to fall down in the fire and you're going to burn up. But the God we serve, this God from Daniel 3, and then Daniel in the lion's den facing fierce lions, that God is real. And that God will make you stand in the middle of things that you did not know you could stand in. He'll give you courage to forgive. He'll give you courage to walk through fires. He'll give you courage to stand when everyone walks away. When I got saved, my family turned their back on me. I mean, immediately I had to start standing. And I always needed someone's approval. I mean, it was so bad because I grew up severely abused and I didn't think anybody loved me. But when Jesus loved me, even though it cost me the people I thought should love me the most, and they walked away from me, Jesus was enough. And you know what? I've won over some of my family, and there's others I'm still believing God for 42 years later, because He's a good God, and His mercy endures forever. How much time do I have, Pastor? All right. Well, amen. I'm blessed. You know, if you want to, I mean, I might not pay attention, but I want to encourage you, whatever you're facing, I want you to start looking different at your trial. I want you to look around you at the people that are watching your life. No one's watching me. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. I want you to be bold about your Jesus. Marta, you're so shy. I wish you'd teach some people here. I want you to stand up and say what God says, even if you're not sure of it. But you're proclaiming it because you're trying to build your faith by saying what God says. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So speak the Word of God until faith rises in your own heart. And I want you to start showing the people around you, not arguing with them, but live it. Because you know what? They want something they can follow that's real. And if you will live what you say, even when they make fun of you, even when they walk away, if you will live it, no matter what it costs you, because Jesus, He's worth everything. They will come to you in their time of trouble because they see in you something that they are lacking. And when they are down to the nitty-gritties and they got nowhere else to go, they're going to remember you. And they're going to remember that Jesus that you talked about. And they're going to ask you for help. Hardest thing I've ever been through is when Ed died. And I'm sure that you all know this. Hardest thing I'm still going through is being alone. Loneliness can suffocate me because I need somebody. And I would fall on the ground and say to the Lord, I can't do this without Ed. Because I was, like Pastor preached this morning, I was Joshua and he was Moses. And I was comfortable making him look good, helping him, making sure he had what he needed so he could be the best Ed Norman and man of God that he could be. I was good at that because God had taught me how to be. And I got real comfortable. And then God called him home. And let me tell you, the enemy whispered in my ear, you told him it was time. And I did, because I knew the Lord had said it was time. And I don't like being alone at night. I don't like eating alone. I don't like. I said that so much that I was sure God was sick of hearing it. But let me tell you, He is a patient God. And He understands our frailties. And it's been 4.5 years. Can you believe it? And you know what? Not only can I do what God's called me to do, but I'm growing. And I would have never been in the place I'm in today had Ed left Ed here. Because my ministry was helps. And there's some people may not think I'm called. I don't care. I know I am. So so I'm going to preach. I preach to my dogs if no one else wants to listen. They don't listen either, but I'm just saying. I have no one else to talk to at my house. But I want you to know God is good. So when you're going through a trial, just understand that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the more you take a stand, the worse the trial's going to get for a while. And don't be afraid of that. Because after that, those watching, your trial is as much for them as it is for you. So you need to think about their eternal salvation. You need an eternal perspective for why you suffer what you suffer. And then you need to remember that these men not only came through that without a scar, without a center, but they got promoted. Do you know that God wants to promote you? Now, a lot of times a promotion means you're going to have another trial down the road. But then when it comes, you'll say, well, I remember when. I remember what he did, and I thought there was no way out, and yet I'm still here, and the devil is nowhere to be found. He's been defeated. And you look to Calvary. Jesus went into a garden before he went to a cross. And in that garden, he dealt with all the things you and I fight and deal with when we're going through something. He said, oh, God, there's got to be some other way. I can't do this. Oh, he didn't say that. Yeah, he did. He sure did. He agonized about the cross. Even though he said, for this reason I've come, he agonized. Because he wasn't going as God, he was going as a man. And he was feeling your challenge. He said, I'm doing this for these people. And he said, you're worth it. And before he ever got on that cross, he was in a garden, and that's where he won the battle. When he agonized and said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours been done. Then they came and took him. He was ready. So, when your trial comes and you're praying, God, deliver me, and it doesn't happen right away, you say, nevertheless, I'm going to stand, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to be trustworthy, and when you enter into heaven, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because you stood the test. Not why God, but wise God. God is made. If someone says, what church do you go to, tell them, I'm a part of the church of the becomers. I'm becoming just like Jesus. Amen. Takes a good trial to get you there. Pastor, would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I can preach. I can preach still. I think I got 2 minutes. Not at all. Come, Tim. In a few minutes, we're going to sing Jesus is with me. And the righteous never go through a trial alone. The righteous never go through a trial alone. The Son of God was in the fire with, he went in the fire with them. He didn't point his finger at the fire. He got in the fire with them. He didn't say, Daniel, you'll be okay from a long ways away. He got in the den with Daniel. He shut the lion's mouth. He's in the den with Daniel. He's in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was in prison with Paul. Hallelujah. He was there when our apostles were all martyred. He was right there with them. Hallelujah. He was there with Stephen was stoned. He was there. Glory to God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor their seed begging for bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You never go through it. Don't believe the lie. The lie is you're all alone. The lie is if you don't bow, you'll die. The lie is if you don't acquiesce to evil stuff going on in the business. You'll lose your job. You won't have any money. You lose your home. You lose your car. You'll lose everything. It's all lies. The truth is that the righteous never go through trial alone. Hallelujah. And if the devil says, I'll throw you in the fire, the only thing that gets burnt in the fire is what don't belong to you. Everything, the only thing that burnt in the fire of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was something that didn't belong to them. And those are the ropes that held their hands and their feet. Hallelujah. Nothing else was burned. Hallelujah. Their hair wasn't singed. Their skin didn't get any degree of burns on them at all. Hallelujah. And they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Hallelujah. They smelled better than some used cars. Had smokers in them before. You never can get that out. Hallelujah. The bottom line is, you're going to go through trials. If you're going to stand with Jesus, you're going to go through trials. Just know, He's going to go with you. He's not going to observe you in the trial. He's in it with you. Hallelujah. We don't just sing a catchy little chorus, Jesus is with me when the storm clouds. I like it. I like it a lot. Because it's true. But He's with me near, not far. You understand what I'm saying? He's not asking me to go through the trial over there. He says, let me come and be with you, Scott, through this thing. So you learn that I'm faithful, and then you can learn how to be faithful to me. Hallelujah. Help me. Because the end of that little story is this. When it was all said and done, King Nebuchadnezzar stands up on his terrace of his palace and said, nobody speaks anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you do, we'll cut you to pieces. They do not have to bow when the music goes on because their God is better than the statue. That's what the king said. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand and sing. Oh, hallelujah. You got it, Tim? Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He stands by my side when I hear that thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the wind of this world is blowing strong. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear that thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear that thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong.